This week on Barbell Shrug, we're going to talk more about energy systems, specifically how to train the anaerobic system for CrossFit.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Oh, wait, look at this guy out.
I can't feel my deet when I deet with you, but I love it.
Oh, Andy Griffith whistle. Welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick. We've got Coach Mike McElroy here.
What's happening? Mike McElroy.
Coach Kurt Mulliken.
What up?
And Coach Alex Macklin.
Yo.
Of course, as always, CTP behind the camera. And we are here at beautiful downtown Memphis, the awesome Hit and Run Gym.
With a big giant gun.
With the massive gun on the wall, the iconic. Is that a Glock? I can't remember.
That's a 1911.
I don't know. I don't know what kind. I'm not even going to say it. folks who collect guns and are gun at and gun aficionados, they'd be like, what the fuck? You don't know
your
guns.
We just lost 300 listeners.
Yeah, basically.
For the record, it's not a Glock.
Yeah. Well, Kurt knows his guns. Yeah, what kind of gun is
that? That is a 1911.
Okay. That's okay.
Smooth shooting, boy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Don't mess with Kurt.
Yeah, 1911. Cool. Yeah.
It's a powerful one.
Yeah. Yes.
What does that mean? Is that when it was made?
It's when the gun was designed, yes.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I knew that. I was making sure you knew that. All right, cool. So today, let's talk a little bit about energy systems again, all right? So we've We talked for about an hour about the aerobic system and how you can train it for CrossFit, how to be better at CrossFit. Today, let's talk about the anaerobic system and kind of the opposite of that, right? So the other side of it. Specifically, not just how to train it in CrossFit, but also the benefits for fat loss as well, right? So it's one of those things that maybe there are some misconceptions where we talked about aerobic and we kind of gave an idea, our definition of what we meant by that and how it feels, how to train it, et cetera. We're going to do the same thing today with the anaerobic side of it. So
wait a minute, so remind again, like what was aerobic training?
Basically, we defined it as anything that's sustainable, okay? So there's a million different definitions out there, lots of different textbook information. So just to keep it simple so you have
practical.
An idea, what's that?
A practical way to think about it is something sustainable, logical way to think about it. And if you're going to put it into practice, something that you can sustain for an extended period of time. So the anaerobic system would be the other end of that where it's not something sustainable. So an interval that's at a certain intensity that's not sustainable and maybe a certain time frame that's
so
not sustainable.
Would that be like a kind of some dreaded work by athletes?
Yeah, so
that's the pain. Yeah.
Pain
can. So basically, the pain train. Yeah, so basically what anaerobic is, you want to die.
The pain
basically.
Train.
Yep. Yeah, but training it always too doesn't always have to be super painful. It doesn't mean it's hard. It means very high effort and it's hard, but it doesn't always mean like that pain you get. So like a short burst of effort is something that's anaerobic, right? Yep. Like a 10-second sprint doesn't necessarily like put you on the ground,
right.
But it's still not easy, right?
Right. Yeah,
super high effort.
So it's more high effort. Higher intensity for lower periods of time, typically.
Yeah, so the pain thing kind of comes in with the lactate and the alactic, which is getting a little bit detailed, but if it's alactic, it's usually not that painful. It's kind of almost too short of a time frame to get very painful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we're getting into with that.
All right. Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break because CT. Well, we're going to. It won't even be a break to you. It'll be like time travel, so we got to replug the computer in.
I saw that too.
Oh, we keep talking.
Oh,
still
keep
here.
Talking?
All right. Yeah. So meanwhile,
it's not video.
Well, I don't want to throw out any nuggets that you don't get. People are like, "This is what it's like when the camera's not on. Oh my God, it's falling apart." This motherfucker. Did you even push record?
Do the other end into the computer.
Okay. Is it recording? We're back. We're back.
Here.
And we're back. All right. So yeah, what were we saying? Sustainable versus unsustainable. Yeah. So we were talking about that on the way
at this
here.
Cluster.
Pay attention. You get the wrong side. There we go.
How many CrossFitters does it take to plug in a MacBook?
What are you doing?
This is becoming an unsustainable effort.
Jesus
quickly.
Christ.
There.
What?
Where's the plug?
It's down by your feet.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why I was trying to hand you that.
God damn it, Mike. All right.
And it's
McElroy
dead.
Doesn't really. Oh. Right.
What does this mean? Did it die?
It died.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, it's a good thing we're only a few minutes in. So, back. Where were we? Sustainable versus unsustainable. Aerobic meaning sustainable by our definition today. Right. Again, there's a bunch of different pathways and other systems within that system that we're talking about. For today, we're mainly focusing on the fact that this is unsustainable work. So if you're on a rower and you're doing sprints and you think you're doing aerobic work and you're slowly dropping down, down, and down, right, your power output, it's not sustainable, right? That would be considered something anaerobic by our definition today. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it's also too. I mean, if you're talking about the physiological sense, it is you're not using oxygen as the primary fuel.
Yeah. Right?
So you're using sugar as the primary fuel, and then I mean, you brought up lactic and alactic, but I mean, the byproduct of burning sugar through your muscles is lactic acid,
right.
So through the metabolic process, and that's what gives that burn, that pain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Before we go too deep into what those mean, and I want to get into the science of all this stuff, but let's talk about how this could actually help you. Training this system would actually help you in CrossFit. So if you're someone who needs to do more anaerobic work, what would that look like? Like, why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to feel like you want to die all the time?
Yeah. So if we've got somebody who we think maybe needs to train this, it would be somebody who's maybe comes from a big endurance background, or they're just kind of naturally more of an enduring person. They're not a super powerful person. So training the system is going to help them develop that higher end speed and that higher end power so that they can get farther into the AMRAP or the five mm-hmm. rounds per time. They can do it faster.
Kind of talking about the more chronic speed. You've always got the one person who's got – he paces every workout all the way through. They never really push.
He's never laid out on the ground after, and he just doesn't have the ability to get – too deep into the system. He can only stay in the aerobic system, and that's just if that's a limiter, like he just feel like he can't go fast enough, then we need to train the system and get him going a little bit faster. Or if he's peaking for a competition, this is one of the things you used in peaking for a system to kind of peak the aerobic system and the anaerobic system so that we're at the optimum position to go and get as deep as we can to a workout.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like what it helps you develop is to have more, you know, more speed or put out a little bit more work toward the end of a workout. And,
right.
and not just like at the end of a workout, but maybe shorter workouts, like maybe your 500-meter row for time, or at the end of the 20-minute AMRAP, if you're someone who paced for 18 minutes of it and then 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes, you just kick it.
Yep.
Right? So it gives you that ability as well.
Well, I was going to ask, is it only just speed, though? I mean, is weight, for instance, a factor in this energy system? So, like, intensity.
Yeah.
Like,
weight can be a factor in the sense of speed. So, if you go too heavy on a certain movement, I think it's going to slow you down to the point where you can't really get into that intensity. So, when we say high intensity for this specifically, we're talking about high turnover and energy intensity.
Right.
So, meaning, talking about heart rate a little bit, usually it's above 90% or so of your max heart rate. So, if we're looking at heart rate, so intensity, not meaning intensity of weight.
Right.
So, if
right.
we use 225 thrusters, probably not going to be able to do anything at a fast enough rate to really get
unless
into
unless you're a freak of nature.
Yeah.
yeah. So, I think if it comes to, like, the point where you want to test it, one way to know is, like, is it developing, you know, is it making you lactic or not, right? So,
do you feel the burn, basically?
Yeah, yeah. Are you getting that? Because if you're getting that, that's not sustainable. You can't keep that up for a long period of time. So that's one way to know if what you're doing is aerobic or anaerobic, in mm-hmm. my opinion, right? There's 100 other ways to do it, but that's just like a really simple way to look at it.
Yeah, that's just a kind of a feeling way, because that's the simplest way. There's less technology or less whatever. It's just kind of how you intuitively know if you're training that system.
Well, going back to my question, is there a certain weight percentage that is necessarily used?
Not necessarily, because we can train the system, like he alluded to earlier. We can train the system, in textbooks, it's kind of defined as, you know, 5 to 10 seconds up to 2 to 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So
of work, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So depending on that time frame, the weight's going to be differently. So if it's a 3 minute thing that you're trying to test the anaerobic threshold, then
you're not going to use something heavy.
It's not going to allow you to get lactic either.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's only 20 seconds, you may do 5 seconds of touch and go, or three touch and go power cleans at 225, and then hop on the bike for 15 seconds, and that could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get kind of deeper into that as far as how to train it, how to write the workouts and things like that coming up.
Well, what you just brought up was that kind of time continuum, and I think when a lot of people learn about energy systems, they see that continuum is just like it's just one line. You've got 0 to 2.5 minutes, 2.5 to 5, 5, 10, 20 to 30, mm-hmm. whatever,
yep.
I mean, oxidative. So, like, what you were talking about anaerobic training being able to benefit your CrossFit training, it doesn't have to be in that first little segment of the workout. You can get anaerobic through parts of your workout.
Yeah, so if somebody doesn't have, and we were talking about this earlier with how it kind of gives him an advantage because he's a very powerful athlete. So in a 20-minute AMRAP, he's got that kick at the end, that last 2 minutes, to really go hard.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the system well developed, you're not going to have that kick, and you just kind of sustain all the way through. Whereas he may catch up and pass you, not because he's beating you the whole time, but because he has another gear to kind of kick into in that last little bit. So.
Or is he just saving it? I mean, is he pacing it throughout the workout, and then he knows that okay, I got this at the end. I can just kick this up a notch.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a scenario. But if you've ever seen somebody who comes, like I said, from a really long slow background, they don't have that kick, and they could be comfortable, and they could be breathing in control the whole time. They could be pacing appropriately. They just don't have that second gear.
They can't turn it on.
Yeah, so it's like that marathon that we talked about in the aerobic training or the aerobic episode, where the guy's running a 5-minute mile for 26 miles. He can hold 5-minute pace for 26 miles, but Mike May can still beat him on a 400-meter run because he just doesn't have that next gear.
Right.
He just can't go any faster.
Let's say a 200. Yeah. Let's say a 200.
I know, because those marathon runners, those dudes can – I mean, a 5-minute mile, those dudes can run pretty quick.
We're talking about like a sprint.
That
ability to just like go.
Their mile PR time is like 10 seconds faster than what they can hold forever.
Or on the opposite end of it. So we're talking about right now, like kind of like towards the end of like a race or a long workout. But what about like the smaller test, like the 500 meter row? Have you ever had someone get on that like you know when someone does a 500 meter row right, when they're kind of powerful and they get on and they nail it and they get off and they are like And you've seen some people do the opposite. They hit it hard and they're like, whew, that was kind of hard. Yeah, that's really tough. And you're like, wow, you must be in really good shape. Or they're just not that powerful, right? Like that system's not very strong. So that's one thing to consider too that can really help you in CrossFit is like if you're having trouble with those short Metcons or even like a short test that might come up, you know, CrossFit games wise, I've never seen anything that really had that. Maybe something the sled push.
Yeah, so
is a good example. But
I mean, we've talked about, you know, Rich Froning is usually our example for everything good, but this is the only place where I've seen that he could possibly improve his training the system better. We always talk about how he starts off the workouts not in first place, and he always finishes in first place, especially throughout the weekend. He doesn't start the weekend off in first place, but he finishes in first place. His worst workouts are always the sled push, the bike sprint, really short events. He doesn't have that super high power where Dan Bailey, somebody else on the other end of the spectrum, he kills those workouts.
And look at the difference after the workouts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone like Dan, like, he finishes that workout, and, like, Dan looks like he's about to combust.
Yeah.
He is, like, snotting everywhere, and he's, like, on fire, like he's smoking.
Yeah.
Like
he is. And he's a 400-meter background, right?
I think so. I know he's a sprinter. I don't remember exactly what. But they're a great comparison.
The difference between the two, yeah.
So with that said, let's talk a little bit about, like, how to – figure out if it's something you're lacking in. So, like, how would you know if it's a piece of your training that you need to actually work on?
Yeah, I think just simple testing, just like we talked about when we were talking about the aerobic system, of using as simple a test as possible where the only limiter is the energy system, as opposed to, like, Fran, for instance. If you test Fran, there's a whole bunch of factors that go into that.
Right.
Like if you're not good at Fran, it may not be
strong enough.
Yeah, it may not be. You may be bad at pull-ups,
can't
whatever.
Can't pull-ups, right.
So a 60-second bike sprint would be a good test, or a 100-meter sled push with body weight on top or something like that.
Yeah, something with a turnover
where there's
just really
no limiter.
High.
Yeah. There's no limiter, high turnover, very high output very quickly. Doesn't take you a long time to get in. You have to be relatively efficient at it. So you may get new people in who have never been on the rower before. Give them a 60-second sprint. They may be powerful. They may be strong enough. But if they've never been on a rower before, and they may not know the mechanics well enough to be able to really dig in. So that's why I like the bike or the sled, because there's no learning process there.
You would still use the heart rate monitor, right, to see if you're at that 90%.
Yeah, you could, but at that point you'd have to have a max heart rate test done also.
Okay. You got to know what that window, like what that ceiling is.
Right, right.
To know
90%
of what.
Right. Yeah, because we have general numbers, but everybody's a little bit different.
And what would you be looking for at the end of this test? I mean, or the next test that you do? What would be kind of your metric for determining whether your, you know, anaerobic system is better?
Right. Yeah, I guess if you're looking at it, if you should train it for a CrossFitter, you're one, comparing it to other people that have done the test, to see how you compare to other people in that time frame, and two, just seeing if you're progressing in that time frame. So if you know that you always hang with kind of the people you're comparing to, maybe you're a regionals level athlete and you do pretty well against them in longer 20-25 minute workouts, but maybe you see yourself always getting beat in these shorter workouts. I'm trying to figure out why that is, because it may not be, like I said, it may not be a skill thing at that point. It may just be the ability to push hard. Or the other end of the spectrum, which is probably where you were kind of starting off. You saw yourself always doing really well in these sub 5 minute workouts, but the long ones, you saw yourself falling behind.
Yep.
So at that point, obviously, you'd be training.
Or I even noticed in the long workouts, I would be at like 65-70% the whole time, and then the last minute or two, I'd be like, boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like you can't do that in 20 minute workouts. Not enough time to catch up. So, that's one way to do it. That's a good question, because you got to kind of follow data that's out there, like people who've already done like certain numbers. And the assault bikes are a great example now. A lot of gyms are getting them, and they're all pretty consistent on, you know,
calories.
People, on calories. So what I mean is, like, the monitor could be different on some of them, but for the most part, they're getting to be pretty consistent, and you're seeing a lot of people doing the 60-second max calorie.
Did you see that one challenge that they posted or something? Like,
yeah, regionals.
I don't know what it was, but it was, like, yeah, like, max calories in, like, 60 seconds or something.
Oh, man, I got
like
a funny story for that.
Like, and somebody posted something crazy, and we're like, what?
Danny Nichols, probably.
I got two funny stories for that. Well, So going back to like what things you can do to test, and we'll get more on that too, but I just want to mention why I like the bike so much is that it's constant output the whole time.
Yeah, there's no escape.
A rower is good. It's pretty high output and high turnover, but if you think about it, half of it you're not really working, right? So like you're pulling and you're returning, pulling,
right,
returning, pulling,
right.
It's not the same as like a sled.
Oh yeah, you see me row, man.
Output.
I'm just like, I pull it and I'm like, oh,
rest.
Okay,
you're like,
rest.
I'm like, oh yeah.
Pull it hard and then like, oh yeah. Okay.
Now a bike, it's constant the whole time, right? So that's why that thing hurts way more.
Oh yeah, that's why I called the devil bike. It's painful.
at regionals this year, they had an assault bike had a tent set up, and they had a challenge that they had a bike there, and in 60 seconds, you do as many calories as you can, and if you had the highest score at the end of the weekend, you could take the bike home, and it's really awesome. And I walked by, and I saw one of my buddies. I was like, oh, man, we should try and do it. A guy named Andrew Rape that I've trained with for a while. He's on my team. And if you're powerful, doing anaerobic stuff like that is really painful because you're strong enough to really dig in and really mess yourself up. So I was there all weekend watching people compete, and I was with my wife watching friends and stuff. And I was like, I'll try it with you, buddy. And I drank a cup of coffee that day. I hadn't had any breakfast. So we hop on and we go. And, man, like, I'm out the door flying. And the record for the day so far was, like, 53. And I was like, we can beat that. We'll smoke that. Andrew and I are going head-to-head. And then, anyways, like, by the end of it, like, 10 seconds left, I don't even feel like it was moving anymore. Like, I really feel like it wasn't moving.
Yeah.
And then I looked down, and I got 58. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, hell yeah. I didn't think I would get near that high. Andrew got 59.
Oh,
oh man. It was the worst second place finish ever. And then beyond that, so on top of a shitty warm-up and coffee, I went and laid behind the assault bike tent on the ground in the fetal position for literally, like, 2 hours.
I was going to say, how did you feel afterwards?
Oh, I threw up the coffee. The people at the tent came over and brought me a garbage bag. They asked if I was okay. I was just like, my wife left. She's like, I got to go watch the events. You're taking forever. Like, I was completely destroyed. 1 minute did that to me. Just 1 minute. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to note that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it after the show. Oh, yeah, we'll have the footage, too, in overtime. I can't wait. Kurt, I don't think Kurt's ever done it, and CDP is going to do it, too. It'll actually be a good experiment because I don't know how powerful these guys are. So you can't expect that everyone's going to be buried when they do it.
Yeah,
now,
right.
I mean, you would hope – I mean, I'm not saying I want people to hurt, but you would hope they'd get that stimulus out of it, but you're not always going to get that. And I can't wait to talk about this, but why would that be? Why would some people get on it and not be able to really, like, hurt themselves on it?
Yeah.
Bad word to say. Why would they not be able to really dig in?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of on that end of the spectrum. I can do a minute all out sprint and it hurts, but it's not like I'm not powerful enough to go that hard to dig that deep into my CNS for it to hurt that bad. Like I get off and I'm like, my legs are in pain and they're kind of tightened up and stuff, but I'm not taking an hour or two to recover.
I'm eager to see this. I'm going to really swing for the SYPD, which is short for shit your pants and die. But, you know, as a coach, you know, you coach a class, like, not everybody in the class is going to be able to get that stimulus that you program for a workout.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna ask, and this may be just off topic, but what application is it for just, like, a regular, you know, CrossFitter. I'm just trying to get in shape. Like, why do I need to, you know,
go into that kind of pain?
Like, why do I even care what my lactic threshold is? Right. Can I train it regularly, like with a regular Metcon? Like, how? Like, what's that? I mean,
well, before we get into that, let's talk about the difference from lactic and alactic, right? Because there is a big difference. So alactic, when we say something like that, we mean without pain, basically.
Yeah.
Right. So it's short enough. In layman's terms, it's short enough that you're not producing any lactate yet. Right. So you're not really like getting that foggy headed, like nauseous feeling in
legs
your stomach.
Legs feel
right?
like they weigh short enough.
Like you were saying, you were doing 7 second sprints the other day. Like
yeah. The other day I was doing 7 second sprints with like 2 minute rest. Like that's large enough rest and short enough work that it didn't really beat me up at all. Right. Like I never got nauseous or felt sick or anything. It's still anaerobic work.
Right.
That's really, really touching on the extreme top end of your speed and really top end of your power output. And when we kind of connecting that into what you were asking, like I don't think a lot of not very powerful people or a lot of maybe newer people or people who want to use this for weight loss, a lot of them can't get into that alactic because they are not powerful enough. Again, I'm not somebody who can get into that alactic stuff. If I did 7 second sprints, you could give me a minute and a half rest and I would still be able to recover and do it because I'm just not powerful enough for 7 seconds to hurt that bad. So in my opinion, only a small population can even use that type of training to get any kind of benefit from it.
You need to be very strong in one way to know that.
Probably mentally and physically strong too. Yeah. I mean.
So one interesting thing that we've talked about is, and I've learned this from some of my mentors, my coaches, is to develop that, you actually just work on getting stronger. So you don't do more sprints. You had a great example earlier of how you and your coach discussed that because you were doing those sprints for a while. And
yeah, so coming off my injury, having a neck injury, neck surgery, I'm not able to do a lot of heavy strength work. And so he still had me – I was doing a ton of biking, and some of that was anaerobic stuff, alactic stuff, and lactic stuff. And my power output was steadily dropping on the anaerobic stuff, where like the 10-second sprints. I was doing 10-second sprints once a week with some other longer anaerobic stuff, but the 10 seconds was once a week, and my power output was dropping. And
now, what do you mean by power output? Sorry.
Like I was getting like up to 40 miles per hour on the ZBEX bike, which is a little different than the assault bike, but basically the same thing. So I was getting up to 40 miles an hour on that when I started doing them. And by the end, I could only get to like 35, 37 miles per hour. So I wasn't able to get as fast. And the only thing that we could attribute that to is not doing any strength work, because I was still doing the energy system specific work. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't doing any strength work. So that's the only thing I could think is 10 seconds just training that system alone and not doing the strength work on the side to help with that output. It was losing some of that power. So you have to get – that's why some of the newer people, the beginner people, and a lot of times females can't get into that system because they're simply not strong enough to push the turnover high enough.
Well, can't push that system. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So think about it like the assault bike's kind of heavy, right? Like it's a little
bit. The ZBEX is even heavier.
Yeah. It's a little bit heavier than like an Aerodyne or anything else that's lighter. So if you have Megan on it versus a woman who's never trained and has no strength background and she goes to try and turn that thing over, she's like,
Right.
10 seconds goes by. Like, of course
barely
she's not hurting.
Happens.
Yeah.
She's not up to full speed yet.
So what do you do to make her move that thing faster? You get her stronger.
Yeah.
Right. So that can the strength work can actually help that develop.
And that goes into a little bit of what movements you choose for this, whereas, like, usually I use the ZBEX bike because that's the main one we have in our gym, but we also have the Aerodyne, which is a lot less heavy. It's a lot easier to get a fast turnover, and I train – a lot of times I'll put them on that bike because they can get a faster turnover easier. And we'll get into, like I said, designing the workouts and what movements work and what don't a little bit later, but that's just kind of one example of that.
So I guess – so what I'm hearing is, too, like, so pushing that barrier, being able to get into that zone, how is that going to help you? So it's going to help you get maybe a few more reps, like, faster or like
– Yeah, so kind of direct correlation to CrossFit is kind of what you're getting at, I think, and how it's going to help you is – yeah, you're going to be able to get more reps faster, but also it's going to make your sub-maximal a little bit higher.
Okay.
So if I can do this much at all out, let's just take, for example, I'm trying to remember the example we talked about earlier. We talked about rowing, but just think about this in terms because it's easy with any other movement. If I row, let's say I have a workout that's 4 rounds for time of row 500 meters and 20 pull-ups. The pull-ups are no problem for me. So if I row it at 145 pace – and that's my PR, and my 500 meter PR by itself is 130. If I can get that by training the anaerobic system down to 125, that 145 pace for that Metcon is going to be easier.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be that much easier. So if we work that top end speed more, now my 90% is higher than the next person's 90%, which is, again, bringing up Rich Froning, his sub-maximal is just that much better than everybody else's maximal.
So he asked earlier, and I don't feel like we covered it enough, but you said, what about someone who doesn't really care like about sport of CrossFit that much? What do they even need to do this stuff?
So we talked about the uses for fat loss. It's a very underutilized system for fat loss. And it's not just, you know, you hear about HIIT training or you hear about
Tabata.
Interval training or Tabata.
That's not a really good example.
Well, I mean, to me, all of those can be more aerobic.
Yeah.
Because it's 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest.
I'm just trying to think of popular ones.
So HIIT training, things like that, in my opinion, it's more sustainable. Mm-hmm. So it's really more aerobic no matter what the time frame is. Mm-hmm. So this piece is used because it gives you, when we mentioned the EPOC, the exercise post-oxygen consumption, basically what that means is the ability for your metabolism to be jacked up for the next 24 to 48 hours. You're going to get that response a lot more from the anaerobic training than the aerobic training.
Right.
So when you train the aerobic system, that your metabolism is increased while you're doing it, but nothing past that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to allow that bump for the next 24 to 48 hours.
Right, so think about the total calories burned, I guess, during across that time. So when you do aerobic training, right, it's like the ability for your body to get back to that stable environment, that homeostasis. We touched on that the other day. The calories burned after that training is not the same. You might burn more calories during aerobic training. Right? Like obviously if you go do 45 minutes on an elliptical, you're going to burn a lot of calories,
right?
Mm-hmm. Versus doing 10-second sprints or 20-second sprints, right? But you get messed up in those sprints, it throws you all out of whack, takes a long time to kind of settle you back down.
Well, it wasn't enough
burns
stress.
A lot of calories.
It wasn't when you do like the aerobic, you know, you're doing it at a conversational type pace, and it's not enough intensity stress to cause your body to be like, shit.
Well,
like,
and I'm not saying that it doesn't work. They both work.
Yeah, they both work.
Yeah, this is just another thing to look at, right? And it's very effective. There's a lot of other things it does too.
Yeah, I mean, you have the people that come in, they come from that background, they're always watching their watch for how many calories they're burning. That's how you have to explain it to them. Like, we're not worried about just what you're burning during this 60-minute session that you have with me. We're worried about jacking up your metabolism for the next little period. And also, a little twist on it that I've used is get that the lactate system working. So we do some anaerobic sprints and then go into a really long, slow piece after that to keep burning that fat.
Yep.
After we get that fat metabolism going, that long, slow can really optimize that and burn more fat.
What would be an example?
So I have some people who are not worried about CrossFit at all. They're just worried about body composition. So they'll do like 4 15-second sprints on the bike with 2.5 minutes rest. And then we'll go into 40 minutes of row 500 meters easy, 2 Turkish get ups, 30-second side plank per side, 50-foot farmer's carry.
Right.
Sustain that for 40 minutes.
So that might be more difficult. So they're doing pretty much alactic work, right? 15 seconds. They're not really really
getting. Because these aren't very powerful people.
Right. And it's 2 minutes, 15-second rest, you said, with only 15 seconds of work. Like, that's going to feel like an eternity if you've never done intervals like this before. So, however, if you tried to shorten the rest because it's in your head to think, I've got to only hurt for it to work right, which isn't always the case. Like, that seems to be the case with almost any kind of training. It's like Olympic weightlifting. I have to max out to get stronger. No.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some, but not all the time. Aerobic training, like, I have to be in pain for it to work. No, like it doesn't always have to be, like, extremely painful. So be patient with that, with the rest between that. And if you did that, when you went into that long piece at the end, they would not be aerobic. They would be messed up still.
Right. Because like you said, if I gave you something like that, 20 seconds of work, you wouldn't be able to even do that 40-minute piece.
Right.
You'd just be trash for the rest of it.
Yeah, so, that brings up a point. Like, how do you even recover for something like this? Because I feel like anaerobic, this is what it sounds like. It sounds like your body thinks it just fought a bear, and then it has to, like, fight another bear tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, so how do you even recover?
Do you mean recover after a session, or do you mean, like, after an interval?
I would say
either one. Either one, how do you recover?
Yeah, well, I think, it depends on the person, so individualizing it. So, again, if I was working with Mike, I wouldn't give him any anaerobic stuff before I wanted him to do anything else. Mm-hmm. That would be the last thing he did for the day
because
he's not
going
to be able to recover from it to do anything else. But if I'm training it for male or female for fat loss and they're doing something after it, I just make sure the rest is enough in between. They're not going too deep into it on the front end, and then they can sustain it. Because most of these people, like I said, they're not feeling that want to throw up feeling that he was talking about because they just can't get too deep into that.
So I don't know, man. Every time I do this shit, I want to feel like I want to throw up.
That's good, though.
But you're strong enough to get there.
Yeah, but you think about your background, which is weightlifting, so explosive, strong, powerful stuff.
Right.
Not any aerobic stuff, so you will be able to tap into the system good.
Ugh.
Yeah. Or just means, makes it terrible.
Or just means I'm out of fucking shape. Yeah. So, that's what that means.
Or your ratio's off, right? So,
right. I mean, I'm a one-trick pony. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. At what point do you adjust the work versus the rest? So if someone says that, you know, that's a good point. Is like, what if I keep getting too sick during these or I can't finish the sessions? Like, look at what the time frame is that you're actually working versus mm-hmm. the rest. Again, like I said, people will be like, I hit it hard for 25 seconds and I'm just going to rest a minute. You know, I'll get this done quick. But, like, you're not really training the system then. Like, you're just getting into fatigue work, right? And then, you know, you might get some pain involved in there and it might do some good that session. But over and over and over, probably not going to make you better at developing that system long term.
So, let's shift gears a little bit. Do we want to look at how to train this periodically throughout the year for a CrossFitter or how to design a kind of workout?
I like talking about the workout. So I want someone at home to be able to look at this and be like, all right, now I at least know like what kind of workouts I can start with. Yeah. And then let's just talk a little bit about how you would progress it.
Yeah, how do you wedge it in?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we already kind of covered testing. So it needs to be something pretty short. Mm-hmm. It can be anywhere from 20 seconds up to 3 to 5 minutes. For the really painful stuff. One of the examples we wrote down, I think, was 15.5 for the top-end people, which was 5 to 6 minutes-ish for the high-end.
What was 15.5
15.5 was 27, 21, 15, 9 reps of row for calories and thrusters with 95 Jesus. Pounds and 65 pounds.
Yeah.
So as you can look at both of those movements, if you're a pretty strong person, it's a high turnover.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, if that had been 135-pound thrusters, it actually probably would have hurt less
mm-hmm.
because they wouldn't have been able to sustain that.
Right.
Yeah. So you were kind of asking about, and we're getting off what we started to, but you're kind of asking about anaerobic threshold earlier. This would be kind of an anaerobic threshold test. So we're testing how far we can stay right at that, producing that lactate, but still sustain the output. As soon as we drop the output, then that's our threshold.
Right,
there.
Right.
So other testing, again, when we're designing testing, it needs to be something that can be a really high output for that amount of time. So if for a lot of time is 3 minutes, it needs to be a good output for that 3 minutes. It doesn't need to be something where we're, dropping the bar, taking a breath, dropping the bar, taking a breath. It should be something that's
sustained.
The turnover is high throughout the whole thing.
Okay.
So yeah, if you're someone that wants to see progress in this, it doesn't have to be just one. Like, it's not just 3 minutes to know. Mm-hmm. You can have a 15-second test. You can have a 30-second. You could have a 60-second. You can have a 3-minute.
Yep.
Right. So like, pick those. And then, obviously, when you're looking at something like the 15-second, you don't want to use something like a rower might not even be a good example because if you use, like, calories or something, you could use meters, but the turnover won't be able to be as high as if you used a bike or, like, burpees would be a really bad example, right? So something, like, really short, it needs to be something that's very simple and easy to measure based on, the variance, right?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to, like, 60 seconds or 3 minutes, like, you know, and then you have more room to kind of play with it.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about how to lay these out in a kind of a weekly cycle, let's talk about why you may not put this in all year round. Just to touch on that and clear that up real quick.
So,
you're asking me?
Yeah.
So if your goal is CrossFit, competing mm-hmm. in CrossFit, and strength is a limiter, this system may not be good to have in conjunction with a lot of high volume strength work. Because this system does
no shit.
Well, let's strength. What about this part of the system? You don't mean all of it, right? Like the short 10-second burst, or do you mean the painful stuff?
So the painful stuff, the alactic stuff, you can keep in there. It keeps that high end output if you need to, but the lactate stuff, the stuff that produces that terrible feeling, like you said, obviously doesn't go good with strength work because you can't recover. You were asking about recovering from full sessions. You can't recover from it in order to give a good effort towards your squat session the next day. Even if it is 24 or 48 hours later, you still can't. Mm-hmm. Your output's not going to be the same. So when we're far off in the off season and strength is a huge priority, we want to train the really slow, long stuff and then strength work. I mean, the mm-hmm. times I've squatted my PRs is when I'm doing like 60 to 90 minute easy sessions on the other end of the days as opposed to these sprint-type workouts on the other days.
Generally.
Generally. So I wanted to get that out there first.
Does your strength drop when you start doing more of the anaerobic training?
If everything kind of blends in properly, so a really well-designed program and kind of recovery is all on point, it usually stays about the same. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get better. Generally not going to get better. So unless, like I said, unless you're just extremely on the weekend of the spectrum, then it may. But, yeah, generally it's you know that going in. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm peaking for CrossFit. Now I'm peaking the aerobic system and the energy system. I've got to be happy where my strength is and just be okay with that because this is where I'm going forward.
So is that something that somebody would do, you know, if they have a CrossFit competition or something like the Open, close to that competition, that's when they would switch mm-hmm. gears to start doing more anaerobic stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're getting some CP stuff, creatine phosphate stuff, aka strength work, just some touches on that just to sustain it, and then you start building in the intensity with the anaerobic stuff. I usually like to go, depending on the person, about 6 to 10 weeks out, really start building in that anaerobic stuff, which is now we can get into that of kind of how we lay it out in a weekly cycle. Mm-hmm. Let's just say we have somebody that trains 5 to 7 sessions a week. My perspective, and we can kind of talk about this, but I like to start one on the really short end of the thing, so 15 to 20 second sprints with a good amount of rest, or really working that top end speed on one day, mm-hmm. and then 2 to 3 sets only of that, like 2 to 3 minutes, not as long a recovery that end of the spectrum too. So I'm working really short high end sprints and then a little bit longer sprints also on the same week. So
gotcha. Maybe I think what we can do too is we can take a couple of examples of like something you might train for that, and we'll just build a program and put it in overtime.
Yeah. Right? So we talked about an aerobic. Well, we talked about doing that for the aerobic system and connecting it with the anaerobic. So we'll kind of lay out how we would write that out, because that's going to be the easy way to see it. We can talk about it and verbalize it, but without seeing it kind of on a template.
Because it might look a little different if you want to be better at your 30 seconds or at your 3-minute or at your,
meter run,
finishing the 20-minute AMRAP, going more powerful in that CrossFit workout. So it's all going to kind of vary. Yeah. So we'll just pick, we'll pick one. Maybe, I want to do better on the 60-second max cal so I can go win an assault bike at regionals.
Yeah.
So now you can actually, a paid professional. And then we'll build a little program for that so you can see the layout.
One question I had, again, I have all these questions, man. I feel like such an energy system noob. but this is not my – weightlifting is more my thing. So it's like this is all almost kind of new to me. But so you talked about like training the anaerobic before a competition. And, what if I'm like CrossFitter and I like to compete like all the time? Like, I still like to do all these weekend stuff and, Spartan races and all this kind of stuff. Like, is there too much like anaerobic training? Like, how do I know if I'm doing too much, and how much do I need to do if I'm competing regularly?
Yeah, I think a couple of things to take into consideration. If you are competing regularly, you're probably not
regular.
And I hope that this doesn't offend anybody, but you're probably not that high end of a competitor. So somebody like Mike is not competing every weekend because he knows it smokes him. So that's one thing to take into consideration. Two, you can do it too much, and ways to know that, I think like we alluded to earlier, it does affect your strength. So if your strength's never going up, in a 365-day, year-long cycle, if strength never moves, then you probably missed the mark somewhere in there, whether it was not enough strength work or too much of this stuff or – something wasn't right. Your strength should go up over a year.
Too many intense ass metcons. Yeah. Strength is not going to go up. I see that a lot. Like people are always like
too much laying on the ground.
Yeah. Like why is my squat not going up? I don't understand. I'm like, well, you're doing like 3 Frans a day. Come on.
Maybe squatting twice a week.
Yeah.
And then doing an intense workout every day.
Yeah. What do you expect?
I think that's really probably pretty common.
What about the health, general health and fitness side of it? So someone who's not interested in sport and maybe their gym has a lot of this or they've got some hormonal issues, why would they not want to do this, or how do you know if that's too much as well? Like, what are some other things to check out?
Yeah, I think, there's some hormone things you can actually test, and then some body fat things you can actually test and maybe look into that deeper. But in my opinion, the general population needs to stay mostly in the strength and conditioning into the spectrum, where we're doing some strength work and then some aerobic work. In my opinion, in my experience with working with athletes, that's usually the healthiest long-term plan going forward. There's not a huge need for this. I mean, the house mom who's just working out to be healthy, why do they need to be able to really dig into that. How,
and we don't mean never do it. We just mean like all the time, like consistently, like 3 or 4 times a week. Like, why is that necessary?
Yeah, because a couple of things to take into consideration too when you're doing these things, unless it's on a rower or a bike or something really simple like that, if it's CrossFit movements, you've got to be varied out into your technique. If you're doing an anaerobic thing with thrusters and pull-ups and bar face and burpees or something, you've obviously got to be really efficient at that. So if you're not,
you want a low risk of injury.
Yeah, you want a low risk of injury in these things because you are trying to move at top end speed.
Right.
So touch and go power cleans or power snatches or something, you have to be really efficient at that.
Or really good at it doing it.
You can't
otherwise
just come in and do it.
Right.
So. You know, one thing it brought to my attention was when we watched that NASA episode, right? The strength and conditioning coaches there, they had them doing the bare minimum of what they needed to function and survive, right? And I'm like, why don't we – I mean, we kind of do apply that here, but not, you know, not with, like, a gun to the head like they are, you know? Like, they're doing it because they have to, and it's like we kind of just let ourselves get away with a lot of stuff here, like bad principles like that. Not bad, but maybe doing things that aren't necessary for what that person's goal is, like health and longevity. Like, why are you making them do Fran when – they just want to feel good and be healthy for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Like, is it making them better?
Yeah, what they did in that NASA stuff, I mean, they were doing strength work every day and then some conditioning. You know, had the little cycle ergometer thing. Yeah. They were doing that every day, probably some aerobic work. That's pretty much all they're doing.
Dead bottom, I mean, minimum effective dose.
Yeah, minimum
effective dose. But, you know, sometimes you just want to blow it all out and have some fun. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that, you know.
And these,
You're about to blow it out?
Oh, yeah. Talking about having fun, these are fun tests to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
They may not be that fun to do, but they're fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, see somebody just go all out and PR their, you know, whatever.
I mean, nobody wants to watch a 45-minute workout. It's an easy aerobic pace. That's not fun.
What was that, the last event of the games last year? I don't know about that.
I was gonna reference the marathon row. I got probably didn't give them very high ratings.
Yeah.
But that with that one workout on Saturday. What was that workout that they did on Saturday at the last year's games, the 2015? After the
axle thrusters and bar muscles.
That was a fun one to watch.
Super fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I was referencing the NASA video, something that's gonna be in full depth. I'm not sure if it is or it is not out yet, but stay tuned for that video as well. People at home probably wondering, what was he talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, something you'll see soon.
They'll know.
You'll know.
It's awesome.
Right. So, we touched on how this, you know, this energy system can help you in the sport, how it can help you in general health and fitness if you're aiming at fat loss. What we didn't really talk about much was the mental side of it. You know, like, this stuff is painful, and it brings you, like,
it
when
brings
I,
the weak
when
bitch
I,
out of you.
Like, y'all are going to do the 60-second max cal assault bike after this. Me thinking about it makes my palms sweat. Like, just standing here right now.
See, I don't have that. I don't know what that entails. So
and,
I don't.
And that's part of things I want to talk
that's
about,
probably
too.
Probably
like,
why you should do it.
You don't know yet. Anytime in my programming, I see a 1K row come up. And if I would rather not know I'm doing it for the whole week because I've done it so many times and I know how bad it hurts.
Right.
And the stronger I get, the more it hurts.
Yeah.
It just never stops hurting.
So,
right. So,
what if you like it? What if you like the pain, though? Because, I mean, I don't know.
You're going to be a good CrossFitter.
I don't know necessarily like anaerobic or whatever, but I love doing 10 rep max back squats heavy as shit. I love doing them. I love like the pain and the burning and the just like you just can't walk after. I love that feeling. So maybe, you know, someday maybe you like that feeling.
Are you wearing nipple clamps right now?
I mean,
I don't like the pain like during it.
Yeah.
I like the challenge that when it's done, like I felt like
it's like
feel
a
completion.
Euphoria feeling after too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah,
but like during it, I am not like like that's
something like that, but like just lifting something like I mean just doing like a 10 rep. Oh man, I just feel just,
so
I
we
just
talked
feel
about
so
the
powerful.
Carryover to CrossFit though we kind of touched on different aspects of carryover to CrossFit, and that's one of the main ones. You know, CrossFit like at regionals or even the open doesn't really test this energy system specifically very often because you have to be at a certain ability to do that. So maybe the higher end people it does, but not very often. Like I said, 15.5 is kind of the only one in the last couple of years. But the mental aspect of it.
Yeah.
So being able to deal with the uncomfortable and deal with the pain, that's going to be a huge carryover to the CrossFit workouts.
It's a sport of mental toughness.
Yeah. I mean, that's what separates the people at the games and regionals. I mean, all those guys are good.
What I've noticed, and you've pointed this out too, is that when it does get hard, like those people, they're like keep their cool. Like they're able to like deal with it and And they've trained it so much that
stay calm.
Yeah, they just stay calm. They're not like freaking out.
I've seen someone start a 1K road time trial four times. they started it, got like three pulls in, and stopped. We're like, I'm not ready yet. They got back on. They did it. They made like 150 meters, got off, and stopped. You know, some people will freak out. And I think that person knew what was coming.
Well, how should you prepare for it then? I mean, how?
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways. I mean, I think that's a whole other episode, developing mental toughness. You know, it could be one, like you just don't know yet. Like you haven't learned it yet.
Yeah.
And then two, like meaning like you haven't experienced it yet, so you don't know how bad it's going to hurt. And then two is just, practice, like getting better at controlling your thoughts, being more, in control.
I think like arousal, you said.
Maybe warming up better too, right? I mean, these, you would want to get pretty warmed up.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I think that's a whole other episode.
Yep. That's definitely another special too, how to warm up for something like.
I think the people who get the most anxious about it are the people that are the best at it. I mean, like I said, if you can't dig
that
deep into it.
They know how much it's going to suck.
Exactly. They know how much pain they're going to have to put themselves through because they're in control of it to beat their last score. And they know that.
Dark place, man.
Yeah.
I'm more scared of a – I mean, you couldn't – right now, you couldn't pay me $500 to do a 1 minute all out. Okay, maybe 500. Maybe
I'll take $5 for that.
Maybe 100. I could just not go all out, but I mean that thing messes
really
me up. So again, anaerobic training for CrossFit. How's it going to make you better in the sport? How can you use anaerobic training for fat loss? How often you need to do it? What's safe? What's not safe? You know, just some huge generalizations, but hopefully you get a good idea on where to start so you can start applying this to your training. Some of the differences, lactic versus alactic, sustainable versus unsustainable. Hopefully we gave you a good definition there. Anything else, you guys want to add? Something maybe we didn't cover?
Lactic threshold training, the book, is a decent place to start, just to give somebody
a
reference.
Wrote that?
I can't remember.
Is this called lactic threshold training?
I think we're trying.
How exciting. What an exciting title. Yeah. It just doesn't even sound like something like – it just sounds painful to read almost.
Yeah, so be on the lookout. We'll try and have a cool program out too so you can get an idea of what that would actually look like, say, something like improving your 60-second max cal, and then, give you some videos and ideas from there. So
cool.
I want to thank Justin at CrossFit Hit and Run for having us. This has been a lot of fun. And, again, the iconic 1911.
Pow, pow.
That's right. Yep.
Nice.
Always there. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Later.